Okay, this is the Daniel Planning Commission work meeting on March 27th, 2023, 6 p.m. at the Wasatch County Services Building. So anyway, we're here to talk about mainly storage units and anything else in Section 8 of the town code. So it's kind of a continuation of the discussion we started in the last planning commission meeting.
The first thing is public comment.
Yes, do we have any public comment?
I don't know if this is the time to ask, but I'm wondering what I need to do to get a permit for a hay barn at my house.
Perfect, because Eric can tell you.
So all the permits are issued through Adura, and they're just down across the highway. Amelia Pays is the person, your contact there, and she'll give you everything that you need in your application, any paperwork you need to fill out. Is it going to be an agricultural barn?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so she'll have all those papers that you sign verifying that it's going to be agricultural according to the state code, and then you'll sign that, and then there won't be any, unless you're doing electricity or plumbing, there won't be any fees on that.
Okay, I will be doing electrical.
Okay, then you just pay for the inspections.
Sweet. And am I allowed, so technically there's already a hay barn, how many accessory buildings are you allowed on your property?
So you're in the RA5 zone.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the coverage is.
There's a certain percentage of the lot that can be covered, but he'd be building a pretty big barn to be able to do that.
He has over 6 acres.
Yeah, he's got a lot of trees in the back. Probably full of deer this year.
There's like 30 back there.
Yeah, they've done a number of my pine trees this year. They're hungry.
Yep.
Hungry.
So what would I need to do to figure out that?
So you'll send in, when you do your application,
that'll all go through the same deal?
You'll also do a site plan, and that's mainly what we're checking for, is your setbacks. If you're going to have animals in it, then the setbacks are different. Further away from the house, or on or off site.
Okay.
And so she'll just walk you through that whole application process. And then most agricultural buildings are done administratively. So unless there's a problem, if it's a problem, then I forward that on to the planning commission. They've given staff the authority to just approve those that go through, that are meet the code.
Sweet.
What's the limit?
The limit of?
Square footage.
There's not a limit on square footage. 1,500 square foot, then it becomes a conditional use. But that's only if it's, agriculture doesn't follow that. That's an accessory structure, so.
Okay.
So I could do a 5,000 square foot hay barn, hypothetically.
We're not looking big because the last one just came with 13,000.
Sweet.
Yeah, but that wasn't a barn.
That's true, that was an accessory
structure. That was an accessory building, so.
Cool.
Does that help?
That does. Thank you.
You would also like to serve the town, so why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself?
What do you want to know about me?
Well, this is your opportunity.
I just moved up here in September, and I moved to Daniel because I loved what Daniel was all about, and I'm hoping that it stays that way for a long time. And so whatever I can do to help preserve that, I'm here to do that. So I'm a general contractor. Most of my work right now is still down in Salt Lake. I'm hoping to move that up here to Wasatch County, but I specialize in residential remodels, and I do a lot of landscape installation. Yeah, that's me. I'm married, I have one kid on the way, and we're excited.
Cool. Welcome.
Thank you.
So for the time being, there aren't any openings on planning. There could be at any time. So you could express interest to the mayor and just, you know, say if something comes up, I'm interested. Other than that, the agendas are posted every month before council meetings and planning meetings. Just look at those and see if there's something that, you know, you're interested in commenting on or would like to see happen or not happen.
Or you can just come and hear what's going on.
Yeah, if you, you know, you don't have anything to do.
We don't have a newsletter or anything, so it's about the only way to find out, except from all your neighbors.
Cool.
And the annual town meeting's the first Monday of every month.
Okay.
And this is the third Wednesday of every month. Well, today's a work meeting, but routinely.
There is some openings on the Board of Appeals right now also.
Cool.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Board of Appeals there.
Not familiar with anything.
So, they're quasi-judicial, so they can actually overrule the town council. As a legislative function, the Board of Appeals has the authority to do that. So if you appeal a decision, it goes to that board. They make the final decision on. There's five criteria that you have to pass to get through there. But if they deem that, Pam went there, she was at Board of Appeals for her garage because she's on a corner lot. And so they treat them both as a corner lot. And so she appealed that decision and they let her choose her frontage and put her garage where she wanted to put it, or where we compromised to put it.
Cool. And it's very happy there and causes no troubles.
And that's what we like.
Yes.
But there is a board opening on that board.
Cool.
And they're only called when needed.
Right.
So it's no scheduled meetings or anything.
And so whether that really counts as being involved, because when was the last time they met? It's been several years.
We've only met three times since 2006.
Whoa.
So we do a pretty good job administratively.
Yeah.
Working through things to where we can compromise and get things done, because we've only had to do that three times.
There's also elections coming up. There will be, as far as I understand, at least one position on the town council, and maybe two. But that's an election. That's kind of a
different beast.
A big bite.
Yeah.
And that's an elected. This is appointed.
That's an election. So you'll see that in the paper in the next few months.
Okay.
We're excited to have people want to get involved.
Yeah. So we can do what the people want.
For sure.
Part of the few.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, it's time to go.
Yeah. Time's a waste.
It means Max is up.
Time's a waste. I forgot to look at the agenda, so I don't know what's first.
So, the agenda, and I'm sorry.
I know, I'm like, I can't print it off my town one, so.
I
should have printed it off
my
other one, but I didn't.
The two things that we're considering is just general fund again.
And then
also the recommendation
bottom
that we could say for code change.
That's
changes. It. There's no tiny homes on there.
What?
For
we
any,
can talk about that though.
Anything that we want to
code change title
for code changes to send to
code change title A.
Basically finalizing what we've turned out before, right?
Exactly. So this is just a follow up to the
So, Pam, you had some thoughts.
Well, when we left last week, or a couple weeks ago, we said, look at storage in every area. Residential, I understood it, RA5, and Mountain, and P160, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when I looked through, and I mainly focused on RA5 because they kind of say the same thing other than their different sizes, the area, that there is no storage guidelines in our code. At least I couldn't find it. Printed it out, and I thought I read it pretty carefully. So I thought that'd be one place that we should, because our RA5 area is, we don't have any guidelines on what can be stored and what can't, and what does that look like? So that was my email that I sent you guys last night, just a couple thoughts that I had on inserting that into the code, storage on your RA5 lots.
Okay.
And I can read those if you want.
You're not talking about commercial storage.
I am not.
Our own junk.
Yeah.
Keeping it hidden from the public.
Yes, that's a nice way of, I try to be a little more politically correct than that, but yes, exactly that.
So that is basically in the code that way right now.
Well, it's not in the particular.
It's not per
chapters,
zone, but it's
per
it's
zone.
It's in eight, and it applies to all of the zones.
It's a little vague that way, so it's good to know. Thank you.
But I'm trying to pull the code up, and I made the mistake of leaving my touchpad turned off.
Well, I printed out where I believe you're talking nuisances on
and
property.
I'm trying to figure out how to turn it back on.
Uh-oh.
No, go ahead.
What section?
Page 43 identifies that abandoned, discarded, or unused objects or equipment such as furniture, stoves, refrigerators, freezers, cans, containers, or other discarded items not currently in use is identified as a nuisance. But I kind of thought that if we just put it in the code and then before we even get to the nuisance phase that people could see, oh, I really shouldn't keep 20 dead cars here on my property, was what I was kind of thinking. But it does allude to that in nuisances on property on page 43. And then it also talks about storage of personal property on that same page, the next paragraph. Unsheltered storage of old, unused, stripped and junked machinery, implements, equipment, non-operational vehicles, or personal property of any kind which is no longer safely usable for the purposes for which it was manufactured within this town is hereby declared to be a nuisance and dangerous to the public safety. So I kind of wrote my little email based off of that information. Basically saying, I thought storage is allowed for all personal property on your own property, not your cousin's ATV, your cousin's motorhome, but your property is allowed to be stored on your property. And I did not word that very well, but that is what I was thinking. And then I alluded to the abandoned, discarded, or unused objects, equipment is not allowed. Unless it's behind a site obscuring fence, and I did not identify the site obscuring fence, or an enclosed building. Unsheltered storage of old, unused, stripped and junked machinery, implements, equipment, non-operational vehicles, or personal property of any kind which is no longer safely usable for the purposes for which it was manufactured cannot be stored outside in the open. A, may be stored behind a site obscuring fence, which needs to be identified, and B, may be stored in a building. You can keep all your stuff inside.
It's yard art.
Hmm?
It's yard art.
Well, we'll get that, I'm sure, and that's why I was thought the explanation was pretty darn good. We're not following it, but anyway, that's what I was thinking. And then in my same email, I did allude to the commercial storage units, and when I was looking through the permitted uses in the commercial zone, I didn't even see storage units as being a permitted use. Am I missing it?
In the commercial? That's correct. It's an industrial. That's why they're asking for an industrial zone in our last application.
I didn't even look in industrial.
It is in commercial as an accessory.
Incidental too.
Incidental too, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, like we worked on last week, really vague.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So those were my two main focuses, and then I did allude to the tiny homes in the RA5 Mountain P160. As it already says, they can be only attached to the primary home, and the health department will have to approve the addition to the present septic system. So I don't know how
well, I think there's
this, or
as we talk about that one, we need to figure out, is it a tiny home or is it a mobile home?
Well, they're kind of the same in my mind.
What codes are they inspected under, and so
I even worry about the attached to an existing dwelling.
Yeah.
You know, why put five of these all linked together like this? I mean, as soon as you open the door. So I don't know.
I don't know. I personally don't like them, but I don't want to put my personal bias in there. That's something we could at least talk about and what people think and want in our town. Is that something that's
I think we let her know last time that...
Well, I thought we did.
Until the code changes.
Yeah.
You can put one on a 5-acre lot, just like any other house.
Well, and provided it's on a foundation. I mean, it has still the same criteria as a single-family dwelling.
Yeah.
So you can just put in as many houses.
So my question is what code are those inspected to?
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows.
So...
I'm sure they're not inspected, actually.
They probably fit more under a travel trailer.
If they're inspected as a mobile home...
Yeah.
But these shipping containers, like, for example, the one that we had, those are built in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Shipped out to the owners who, I'm sure they're uninspected. We certainly wouldn't inspect that.
No, but for example, a mobile home is inspected at the factory.
Right.
And I would think that those would need to meet the same requirements.
You would think in the tiny home factory that they would be inspecting them, but...
You're right.
They're not. These people are doing them.
You're right.
They're doing them beside their house, this particular...
They looked okay, but they're...
And a mobile home has federal requirements that they're required to hit because they're federally regulated. So mobile homes are different, as in the feds watch that.
But if someone brought a pre-manufactured home in, they have to meet all of the local codes, correct?
Same thing. They also are federally regulated. They don't have to meet our code,
okay,
but they do meet the federal code. Wasatch County, there was a lawsuit 5 years ago up here in Strawberry Valley, and they brought in, it was a manufactured home. Snow load wasn't high enough. Wasatch County sued them. They couldn't have it there, and they lost.
Wasatch County lost.
Right. If you meet the federal guidelines, county can't come in and say, uh-uh.
Wow.
But it'd be interesting to drive up there this year and see if the roof fell.
Yeah. Very true. They weren't doing it maliciously, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no, of course not.
There was definitely concern for that, but it's...
Okay.
Just something that you can put in the back of your mind as something that's happened in case...
Well, I'm just saying that they either need to be inspected under the federal rules or under the local rules.
Yeah.
Or I would say they don't come in at all.
Yeah. And there's no way for us to inspect it after the fact because...
The walls are all, the wiring and everything's
right,
in the
walls. Right, the sheetrock's in, the siding's in, you can't see where they ran it, where the junctions are. And so...
Interesting.
Federal laws, do they need a second door? Is there a second door? I mean, there's just a bunch of questions, so...
Yeah. So the reason that we even look at this is because the state of Utah decided that ADUs will be allowed in every zone.
Mm-hmm.
So accessory dwelling unit will be allowed. Well, it was already in our code. They were allowed. It's conditional use, and it has to be accessed within the main structure. And so the main access has to be in the main structure. So we already complied. We didn't have to jump through any hoops. It's just what will be next, I don't know. There's a lot of pressure to have these for the housing market problem that they have. We got all these people. Where are we going to put them?
So. There's all those apartments they're building in Heber. There's a lot of houses and apartments over there, but anyway.
We can't control what the state does, but...
That's for sure.
I think we follow our code for now, and my suggestion is we don't change anything.
To accommodate them, talk about them?
I think it's the same thing as bringing a mobile home in. I don't see any difference.
Right. Well, and the liability issue on that. There's a fire. I mean, all the liability issues that come back on the town for allowing them is, I think, scary in my view.
Sure. Is there a place in our code now that talks about mobile homes?
Yes.
Where is that? I know you're much more familiar. Is it in each zone, or is it a general statement somewhere?
I think it's in 8, I want to say 21, but I think it's 810.
810 lot area, 810.04, that's in the commercial. Anyway,
yeah,
I'll have to look.
The supplemental standards is in there, and that's what it's writing under.
Okay, I'll find it and look through that. It is hard to...
It's got to be tied into the main structure. It's got to be accessible from the main structure.
It has to be on a foundation.
On a foundation, so you got to get through the health department if you're putting in a bathroom. If you wanted a snake or Rubik's Cube or Tetris, whatever, five of them together, there's nothing stopping that.
Right. Well, the fire department also has to sign off, so.
Yeah.
If they see something weird, they'll make a sprinkle.
You could Tetris five together for one rental unit. You could Tetris five together for five rental units. We allow one additional unit.
I'm just saying somebody get silly with them and go one this way.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many?
Absolutely, the way that I look at code, just how would Eric get around that? That's how I do that code.
So should it be some square footage qualifier where it can't be?
It could be.
X percent of the total square footage.
It acts, it could be, and we have that on accessory buildings. I did find this, and this will interest you. Accessory buildings such as garages, carports, greenhouses, gardening sheds, recreation room, and similar structures, which are customarily used in conjunction with and are incidental to the principal or use, this is one we've been, such buildings shall not exceed 10%. And I think that's what you guys was working on last time, right?
That's what Bridger had thrown out, I think, with that 10% quote. So that would cover.
It would. I think that number is low myself.
10%'s low?
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I don't know.
That's not very much.
I can say mobile homes are 8, 2133.
What page is it?
I don't know.
I think Bridger's intent there was just the air on the hook.
Just get a number out there, try and get talking about it.
Something less than half, maybe it's 25%, 10% increase seems a little low.
Yeah.
So I'm actually installing a detached office at a property in Sandy. And in Sandy, they require it's pre-inspected by a third-party inspector before it shows up on site. However, Sandy requires that if there is an electrical hookup, you have to pull an electrical permit through Sandy and it has to be inspected in order to be hooked up. So I wonder if that would be similar. You can't just waive all inspection, even if it is on the federal side of things.
Yeah, but that inspection only goes from the hookup to the office, right? Because everything in the office is already done, right? If you're pulling electrical, so
correct.
We do that in mobile homes. They'll inspect from the meter base to the mobile home, but we don't touch anything in the mobile home. Same thing, we don't cross that federal line, we just go to that line.
But I guess that would be my question then, because if you're, if it's an addition to the existing home, then it should be, it should be inspected under our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
It's not its own unit, it's connected to the home.
Incoming.
It's like if we build an addition on our house, you'd be inspecting it.
Same thing, right there.
It's the same thing if we drive something up and attach it to a house. Yeah, that's interesting.
You see, and we have some buildings that people have built without a permit, and we're to that point where the inspector comes in and if he wants to see the wiring, they've got to tear off all the drywall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he's not putting his name on it, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
It's his job to inspect that, put his name on it. So, some residents are very upset with us. It's like if you try and skid around the rules.
The rules and save a couple hundred.
Yeah.
Permits. So, back to kind of Bridger's proposal on the change. What were we hung up on from last week? No, 10% or was it?
I don't know if we're hung up on that or, you know, is the suggestion, I think really where Bridger was at is, and Byron, is we don't allow storage units because town gets no revenue, it uses up the limited commercial space that we have. But I think the one thing we need to define is the difference between storage and warehousing, and there's nothing in the code that I can find that really talks about warehousing. And when I talk warehousing, I'm saying I have a business, I'm selling, you know,
water heaters
or water heaters. Okay, and so I have a warehouse with the stock in it, and I think, you know, you want to allow that kind of thing, and we need to make sure that we don't say you can't have storage because you do need storage for a business.
Yeah.
But I don't think we want to.
The difference is, are you renting out that storage space? And I thought we touched on that last time.
Yeah.
But it could be, it could be like a distribution warehouse where you are renting that to 50 different vendors and you're shipping from that.
That's
and
true.
I don't know that that's, you know, that seems to be okay to me. I think it's kind of the same thing. But it's more the,
That becomes not arguable that it's incidental to the primary use, though, right? Whereas a
Yeah, but the way it talks about right now, incidental is very vague, and so it lets us in the other way. So I guess, how do we quantify that?
We had talked about that word, incidental.
What's another word we could use that would firm it up a little more?
Well, I think that was the 10%, right?
Yeah, and I made a note that we had talked about 25%. We hadn't agreed, but we just threw it out there as maybe a little bit more realistic.
Does that, to your concern, Gary, does that?
Not really.
Because it could be.
What's 25%? Right? Yeah.
25% of the land, 25% of their business.
25% of the total square footage of the buildings in the development.
Total square footage.
That doesn't cover all business, potentially? Mm-hmm. Like, to your point on the warehouse distribution thing?
No.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm trying to.
Although, I don't think. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not sure if we're encouraging or wanting to encourage a distribution center anywhere.
No, we're not. But it depends on what it was, too. I mean, it might be something that ships 100 boxes a day.
I mean, we have the Frito-Lay one.
That's true.
We already have them, so they're in there at Whitman's. In they go, load their trucks, diesels drop it off, in the little trucks, out they go.
It's true.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I think the incidental is where you're held up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can change that wording to work for something.
Yeah, I'm just getting through all of the other incidentals here, like swimming pools and incidental bathhouses.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you're going to have a swimming pool, you're probably going to have a bathhouse.
Intentionally vague, widely used term.
Yeah.
But doesn't the square footage satisfy that within that specific section? That stipulation is percent total square footage.
Yeah, but I'm not sure I'm good with that. Not that I have
the
to
number
be here,
just,
I won't mean,
just, the
just saying a percentage. I don't know that that really answers the problem.
Accessory uses are permitted. Commercials are. Maybe like provided they are support. And you could use the word storage to support the business.
I don't want to use the word storage.
Like not to use the word storage.
I'd rather use warehousing.
What about stock?
I still can't find the code.
It's right here, right?
What number is it?
95, it is.
Okay.
81003, right above it. 81003, right above it. It would be nice to have a better able to find. That's why I had to print it out, because I could never find anything in the computer. It was like, ah.
The thing that's nice about that is it's searchable.
That's probably the iPad. It can't.
Yes, if it was better searchable than it is. It's not very searchable.
And
you could look
said,
up.
Then I messed my laptop up tonight by not bringing my mouse and having the mouse pad turned off.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it won't let me turn it back on.
Chris Anderson to the next meeting, and you guys can tell him what would be helpful.
This needs to be all searchable. Can't be that hard.
So what
exactly.
Number
but one thing at a time.
The way to make it searchable is you can probably download Adobe Acrobat Reader to your iPad, because that's what I've got on here, because in the web browser I can't search it either.
Yeah.
But if I open it in the Acrobat Reader, I can
search
it.
Yeah, I had to download it to search.
So
it
should be able to download the Acrobat Reader to the iPad.
I'm not very savvy that way. Okay.
Yeah, I downloaded it and I got a copy on my phone.
I just printed it out.
I
took it to the thing to print it out.
So if you guys are honestly using your iPads for that, I can add you onto that. That's not a problem.
For what?
For Adobe.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, there's some, just the wording itself, which are customarily used in conjunction with And I think we could put in there and have a nexus, some of you are familiar with that word, nexus, to the principal use or structure. So a nexus is a legal term of a direct connection. So it's not incidental, it has to have a direct connection. And that's just a legal term they use in some of the lawsuits.
How about subordinate to, instead of incidental?
Why not combine them and make it insubordinate?
Okay.
No, I think that one may work.
Then at least with a legal, with a legal term, you have a definition of nexus.
Which would be nice.
Which you can point to. And obviously the courts would be familiar with that.
Subordinate is saying lower in rank or position, but that's also under the authority or control of another within an organization.
In other words, there's a primary business, the storage has to be smaller.
Yeah, my storage unit rental business is subordinate to my business.
Yeah, and let's face it, the one we just approved is really the other way around, but they used incidental to.
Well, yeah, and the bait and switch.
Yeah.
So just to bring you up to speed, what happened was a guy came in, one-story building, had some storage units, some commercial in front. Then he came back and updated his site plan, added a second story, all the storage units on top. And so suddenly it became bigger than incidental too. And two residences on the top, caretaker dwellings. So that was...
That they can't rent.
Yeah, well, we did get that in there.
We do, yeah.
But somebody's got to watch it, monitor it, and
yeah. Yeah, you have that many storage units.
Well,
they're subordinate to, how's that?
Yeah, and if they are indeed climate controlled, that's going to be a lot of work.
Climate controlled is a lot of work?
Yeah. If that people put servers in them a lot, and they that gap vary. That temperature has to be maintained, and it happens a lot. Mm. A lot of people use those for the servers. And off-site server, they'll put it over in this unit and store all their stuff over there.
Not anybody that worries about security does that.
Interesting.
This one has to do is drive by with a suitcase and you've got enough. Anyway, never mind.
Get dark.
So should we take a stab at rewording the permitted accessory uses related to what we've been talking about?
We've got to focus on something here.
We do.
It's so hard to pick something. It's a little paragraph, for heaven's sakes. Two paragraphs.
And I think nexus probably does it.
I didn't know what nexus means, so thank you.
It means a tie or connection. But is that strong enough?
Yeah, it's direct connection is what they...
In other words, you can't...
More specific than incidental.
Well, I think it allows you as a planning commission to say, is there a direct connection? And if you don't see it...
This and this.
Then there's not a nexus.
So if a guy's selling water softeners and we go back into his little storage unit, there's not one water softener, then...
Well, even at the planning stage, if you see something that it's like, this doesn't have a
Does have nothing to do with your water softener
this
business.
Yeah.
I don't see any salt even.
Yeah. I think it gives you a little bit of wiggle room as far as the planning commission and also as ordinance enforcement. Is there a nexus? It gives you the ability to document that, I think.
Is that better than just plain English? Like, you must have a direct, this has to have a direct connection to that.
Plain English?
I mean, it might be for legal reasons. I'm not being
That's what I'm saying. Where will you end up
really
with this word?
Really answer.
It's in front of a judge.
Yeah, great.
Direct.
A
probably argue direct just as well as Nexus. To me, Nexus seems
more. You probably argue any word, so.
So one thing that will happen is it will get passed in front of legal.
It will.
And they may make a suggestion for a better term, since they understand what a judge, hopefully understand what a judge is going to think.
Right. And you want the guy that's going to defend it to have a say in it?
Yeah.
He's got to stand in front of the judge and defend what we've built, so.
There's an Adobe Reader that appears to be mostly free.
Should be free.
I have an updated version on this, so I can download it. You need your credit card and things like that. I'm not doing it right.
Don't give me a credit card, whatever.
No, let the town pay for that.
It's just for the in.
You should be able to get it.
Commercial dump right there.
Oh, that's true. You gotta have it for the app store.
Directly connected.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'll search on my computer then.
I'll just get.
Which are customers in conjunction with an incidental.
Microsoft, I'll just get it to me.
With an incidental principal use.
Just the reader.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So I'll just do that.
Through the SharePoint or?
So we don't have to individually do it?
You won't have to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be.
I'll just send you a link and then you guys will have to download it to your iPads, but it won't be part of.
Without using our own Apple ID.
Yeah, and we already pay for the subscription for Microsoft every month. That's part of our budget. So it's not going to be that much more to pay for.
Actually, probably shouldn't cost anything.
And Adobe is actually also really good for your maps and things like that.
Now you're making it complicated. But yeah. And download it from there.
Yeah.
Instead of.
Like Word.
Instead of the App Store.
Right.
Let me do that. I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Everybody will just be thrilled that you guys are using your iPads.
Scared the crap out of me.
Well.
I can't use my.
Not everybody.
Kip's not here tonight.
Not everybody. You can't get 100% on anything.
Well, but that's even the majority.
That, you might get the majority, but you won't get 100%.
Instructions permitted in commercial zone, provided they are directly.
Maybe we can convert Scott.
Will you say we're proposing that we're changing?
That's not on the page.
So I propose that.
8-10-03.
Okay.
In conjunction with and have a nexus to a principal use or structure.
And have.
So instead of.
Why don't you just read the whole thing?
Accessory buildings such as garages, carports, greenhouses, garden sheds, recreation.
I decided to get rid of that, I thought.
I think we're going to leave that.
Okay.
Which are customarily used in conjunction with, and then instead of and are incidental to, you have a nexus to principal use or structure.
And do we need to add to the business in there? But since we're in commercial, it's assumed it's a business?
So this would go in every zone that you wanted it in, because it's the principal, principal use or structure is already approved in that zone.
Okay.
So if it has a nexus to that building, or if it has a nexus to your house, it should fit universal.
In each area.
Okay.
So we don't need any sort of square footage.
Clarification.
And you can still put that in there. You could still have square footage if that's, you think that that's
still
an issue.
Higher maybe, like 50%.
I don't know what it ought to be.
We do have the 1500 rule. So if there's anything that's 1500 or more that's not agricultural, then it has to go to a conditional use. And so that's why we heard the Povare, because it's a conditional use, it's over 1500. So you do still have that check and balance there on the conditional use.
It's true.
That's why I.
At 1500 feet.
But if you go 50% here, you're preventing the conditional use, right?
But it would depend on how big your house was. If you could go 50% of how big your first structure is.
In most cases, you'd probably be, right?
Yeah.
You can put
But I think what you're saying is because the 1,500 square foot max is in there, that gives us a reason to turn something down if we think it's too much.
Yeah, it can be too much.
Without a specific number.
It can be too much for that area, and I mean, it's just the overburden, the atmosphere. I mean, you've got all the reasons legally that you could turn something down if it was over 1,500 square feet. That number's not arbitrary. It's there for a reason because this is what you're, this is what you've built in the neighborhood.
Right.
And so you just have to state those reasons so that when it gets in front of the judge, it's reasonably debated. Okay. And that's what he's looking for. It's not arbitrary and capricious. It's reasonably debated. They decided this. And so that's why the reasons need to be in your motion should you turn one down.
So I finally got this to where I can see it.
You got it.
And I think what we ought to do is, provided they are, I would just say accessory uses are permitted, and get rid of the and structures, are permitted in the commercial zone, provided they are contained within the building and do not substantially alter the character of the principal use or structure.
We got rid of the word structure up above, though.
Yeah. Right, I guess we don't need that, but and have a direct nexus to the business or to a business.
To the use. That's
to the use.
Yeah.
Whatever's approved in that.
So if it's a building that has five businesses in it, you know, it needs to be used by one of those businesses.
Yeah.
And so my thought is no, we don't want separate storage units out there. They could add to the building. They could build a bigger building to start with. Then we don't end up looking like, okay, we have all these storage units that may or may not be
connected
to a business, related to the business.
Right.
Where I think if it's all in one building,
yeah, and I think the thing we'd look at is like copper roof across the highway. Mike went in and built that with the buildings, and it had that connection, and then he divided that and sold the storage unit.
Yeah.
It's like, that was not the intent, so we definitely don't want that to happen.
Here's a little copy of that, what we're talking about right here.
Because then you definitely have a business that has no nexus to those buildings that are in front of it. Been peeled off and separated, so. And I told Mike that. I said, if you'd have done that in Daniel, you'd have an illegal business. We'd shut you down. But they did that in Charleston, and they allowed it, so.
Is it subdivided?
So do you want to say it one more time?
I'm trying to write it down.
I know, I'm like, okay, maybe I can write it down. Because we say substantially, do we want to get rid of that word altogether? Is that where we put the percentage? Or, because it's, and do not substantially alter the character.
Well.
What's the, substantially can be interpreted in many different ways. I'd like to get rid of the word.
Substantially.
And just say, and do not alter the character.
Substantially is referring to the alteration of the principal use.
So correct.
If we're extending that, if you're going to be more specific, do you want to give that a stab again? You got to surround it. You just got to pick the right words.
Yeah, I don't think you can get rid of substantial because you are going to alter by putting anything on there. It's just whether you're substantially altering.
And define.
As soon as you make the change, you've made a change. It's altered.
So define substantial.
Well, that's where.
You know, 100% looks totally different.
That's where the percentage would come in.
That was where the percentage would come in. Yep.
Yeah.
Because the definition of substantial to me might be different than what it is to you.
Right.
Well,
and I think you as a planning commission have to decide what that is.
Different too.
Yeah.
True.
Yep. It's not easy to write code.
No. No.
Especially when, for some reason, my computer wants to skip that little section every time.
It's just, it was a little section. That's it. We're just focused on a little look at that.
It's gone.
If the annexes do not.
That's a good argument, Pam, to keep a percentage in there. I don't know what the percentage should be, but you have to put some parameter on what substantial actually is.
Yeah.
I think so.
So
50%?
My thought is if we're not going to allow it in a separate building, do we really allow accessory uses? I mean, it's either a use or it's not a use.
Yeah.
So do we just zap that whole thing for the commercial code? It's always easier to delete than invent.
I'm curious why swimming pools got into this section. I mean, what's so unique about a swimming pool?
The town decided that they wanted to regulate swimming pools.
Okay. Way back when, why they picked swimming pools and not riding arenas?
We had some complaints on some swimming pools. Swimming pools are noisy. People don't like swimming pools. The kids are over there playing, the towels go out. So we had some complaints.
Uh-huh.
The town decided that they wanted to regulate
swimming pools.
And so they passed that code.
Huh.
And so we regulate swimming pools that are over so many square feet. They wanted it less. The public came out and I think you can have a 20 by 20. It's not regulated. Anything over that is, it has to be fenced. It's just something that they decided.
They focus on swimming pools instead of indoor riding arenas,
right,
which I'd be interested in.
Right.
Okay. But for commercial,
do we allow
swimming pools in a commercial zone? I don't think so.
I
wouldn't you?
Well, what if they want to build a park and rec? That's allowed. And they want to use a swimming pool.
But a swimming pool is an incidental use? Or is it
park and rec?
Accessory use?
That's all a stretch.
I can see a swimming pool as
the main thing.
True.
Yeah, I can see it with a hotel or with a spa.
Yeah.
Okay.
In your commercial zones.
Or gyms, athletic clubs, spas, aerobic centers.
True.
That's allowed.
So, okay. B, also C is valid, I think, which is storage of materials used for construction of a building, including a temporary contractor's office.
Yeah.
For the period of construction and 30 days thereafter, I think that one is definitely needed.
I just was curious on the swimming pool, so thanks for the history. It's like, why did they pick swimming pools?
Without an office, and then you can build the building.
If it's in there, there's been an incident.
I see. Is there a swimming pool in Daniel?
Yes, there. Most definitely had complaints.
There is a few.
Okay.
And some people think those are happy noises. And in fact, in the meeting, we had a guy up in Storm Haven that says he'll trade us 10 pools for one rumble strip.
Yeah, because I've got those rumble strips are pretty annoying down there. 10 pools. You go.
So 10 by 10, otherwise it has to be permitted.
I think it's 20 by 20.
10 by 10, that's what I'm going to tell my wife.
Okay.
There will be no pools.
Yeah.
It's not enough of a season for a pool.
Yeah.
Even 20 by 20 isn't very big.
It's not that big. Yeah.
TJ, just tell your wife it's not allowed. Sorry.
Yeah, worked out. I've put it off for 2 years so far. So.
Let's get her a big hot tub.
It's for the grandkids.
You
don't kid yourself.
This spring by default.
We're going to have a bit of a pond there.
All right, back to this. I'm supposed to do not.
In fact, Shelly was the one coming saying what size she wanted.
And it was bigger than 20 by 20?
No, that's what, it was less. They wanted 10 by 10. And she told them it had to be 20 by 20, and so they went with her.
10 by 10 is really small.
Shelly was very into that. That would affect her grandkids in her backyard, so she was involved.
Oh, so you have a pool in your backyard?
It's just summertime, the inflatable.
Yeah, a little round, whatever it is.
And it's noisy, I get it.
It's good noises, though. I'm thinking of pools that are in the ground, or with cement, and a diving board, and I'm like, you couldn't dive into it.
Yeah, you can hear them kids yelling, and then the jet goes over, and you can see them, but you can't hear it, and then they're back to playing again.
Oh, those jets, that's a different business. Okay. Next is...
So Gary, what did you write down?
I wrote accessories is permitted in the commercial zone provided they are contained within the commercial building and have nexus to the businesses, but I am still not where I want it. I was on the
nexus.
Delete it, but you can't do that either.
Yeah.
Provided they have a nexus and 50%, too much, and do not alter the character by 50% of the principal use of the structure?
Well, I think the 50% would be the sizing, not how much it changes.
Good point.
So it'd be 50% of the size of the initial structure.
It'd have to be half the size of the original structure or business.
Right.
We're better off going with a small number. We can always approve more if we have to.
I think we should totally delete A, though, for the commercial zone.
Yeah, why gardening sheds? Why does that fall into there?
Garage, carport part kind of makes sense depending on the business, right?
Yeah, and the recreation room.
If it doesn't meet code, can they still apply for conditional use?
No, it has to be a use within there to be. We have the list of uses and then the uses of conditional uses, and it has to be on that list or it's not allowed.
Okay, well, let's maybe look at that. Do we have...
Just
past this. Do we have storage as a conditional use?
Conditional use storage. Heating, plumbing, paint, electrical, hardware department, stores, mail and phone, variety stores. No. Sport assembly, whatever that is.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was never a use in there. It was incidental too, is how that was coming into it.
I see.
Yeah,
that.
But it's a...
Because it is not a permitted use, at least I can't see it.
Is it a conditional?
Conditional use
no, it's not a conditional use.
Yeah, and that's why he wanted to apply for the
industrial
zone, because it is a use industrial.
I see. I didn't look at industrial, I guess, very well. I was thinking of the
There's
cement factory.
A lot of pages, you can miss stuff.
I can, yeah. I tried to, yeah.
Yeah, it's, every time I read it, I'm like, oh, I didn't
remember that.
Yeah.
Which are customarily used in conjunction with and have nexus to a principal use or structure. And then whatever percentage we think puts a reasonable ceiling on something excessive. If you win the argument that there's nexus, how do you control that it's 80% away from the building, that's too much.
So why are we allowing accessory uses that are not either a use or a conditional use?
For storage?
No, for anything.
For anything.
I'd really like to have a concrete batch plant on my back porch, you know.
Oh, man, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, why do we allow, are we allowing?
You do.
Yeah, you're right, close. That's going to be the East Bay of Deer Creek when the high water
comes. It will be.
That'll drown out those backup alarms.
That'll slow them down a little.
But really, why would we allow accessory uses that are not...
Permitted.
Permitted.
And or, it says permitted accessory uses. So it's trying to...
Well, it's saying what accessory uses are permitted.
Yeah, which is here. Permitted uses.
Well, I think that argument stands. I mean, they build this place in the commercial. They need a place to store stuff.
Sure.
And I think we had that conversation just a little while ago. They need some place to store this stuff. So.
Put it in your building.
Yeah. They can certainly do that.
No other structures.
Because the use isn't storage. The use is manufacturing, retail, and that's part of that. And I don't know that we'd get so picky to say, well, you can't store your products.
Yeah.
But we don't want them renting the space out, you know, to the garages or whatever else.
Yeah.
Strengthens the guy that did the little bit of retail and then the inside, in hindsight, digging into these details more, Bridger may have been right, quite honestly, that he got hung up on the incident one too.
Oh, yeah. My personal opinion was you guys had every right to deny that application.
Yeah, that one was so far down the path.
That was just
in my opinion,
so huge.
Being new.
The problem was the site plan got approved, and then once we was past that, it was almost, you couldn't go back on that at that point without getting sued.
We'll see you in court.
Yeah. Once you've gone down that road, it's hard to get back.
To me, the Nexus thing, and with that one, if we had a percentage, I think that one ended up being what, footprint-wise, was 40, 50%?
Yeah.
Maybe more?
Yeah, well, the whole upstairs, 50% for sure.
Because it covered the whole bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was more than 50.
Well.
Time they added the apartments
those
for that.
Two keys that would have never gotten through.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the Nexus instead of incidental too. And
see, my intent is that we should never allow standalone storage units, and that's really, they're not standalone, but they are.
Right.
And so.
Well, at least when you say standalone, I'd look at a storage company, not mm-hmm. a development like we're having down on 40, or
right.
I mean on 189 that's tied to these buildings. This is all one development.
Yeah, but they could sell the storage units out.
They could sell.
Just like anybody else.
Just like Mike did. And that's what I told him. That would be illegal in the town of Daniel. Because we don't allow storage units. It has to be tied to that business or that's an illegal business. The second they sell that becomes an illegal business.
Yeah, or do they put a surfboard shop in the front one?
Yeah, they'd have to do something.
Legal.
Yeah, they'd have to
then
do something.
More than 50%, they're illegal.
And they're going to have multiple businesses in there. So which one does it have to be Nexus to?
Well, that's where your 50% comes in.
Yeah.
If they're only using one building, that's a pretty small 50%. If they're using the whole development, that becomes substantially larger. Because once you guys design this, I have to go out and enforce it. So please.
Make it reasonable. So,
make it complicated.
So kind of what I'm thinking, that accessory uses that are within the structure can be what's listed here. Accessory uses that are a separate structure have to be in the list of either permitted or conditional uses.
Yeah, and I don't even think a permitted use within the main structure would not even matter.
No,
we
I
wouldn't
mean,
see that.
A separate structure, I guess a permitted use, they could build a separate structure. I mean, how many commercial buildings can you build on a lot?
A lot.
So we allow that.
Yeah. It's a half acre lot in the commercial zone.
Is that commercial and industrial half acre?
I'm not sure on the industrial, but commercial is half acre.
Yeah, it says right there.
I remember industrial was half acre.
lot area. Each development lot in the commercial zone shall be 1/2 acre minimum and shall be large enough to accommodate the business facility, parking, landscaped areas, and setbacks required by the approval of the use and establishment in this title. So that's not, I mean, that's, 1/2 acre's not very much.
It's not. And really, the drawback for the town of Daniel is we don't have sewer.
Yes.
And so now you've got the, a lot that's 1/2 acre that you can't do anything with because the health department is not going to okay. But they tell us 2.5 acres. Mm-hmm. And the last time they gave 2.5 acres before they'll put a septic on it. So
yep.
So we can create this lot, but we can't. It can't be serviced.
Can't be
you
used.
Can't build it because the health department will never sign off unless they have 2.5 acres.
So they'll sign off on 2.5 acres in commercial, but. You have
don't
to have
put a septic system in on anything less than 2.5 acres.
That's just in general.
Yeah, that's. So
could, I thought it changed to 5.
You can't have a bathroom.
It has been 5, but they're signing off on 2.5 based on their last big. We had the health department come, Jonelle came.
Yeah, and I thought he said it
and
was
he,
5.
So they're signing off in Charleston on 2.5 acres. Hmm. I guess it depends on the use, too. I mean, the intensity of what you're putting in that septic is obviously a. I mean, again, back across the road, we have that little area where Adura is, and they're pumping that septic every week.
Well, yeah, that's because you've got a
Chocolate pie factory there, chocolate pies. And
that's on septic?
It is.
It is.
There's no sewer down there. They have the same problem we have. Charleston is,
okay.
When they came to us for water and sewer from Heber, trying to work that out, they have the same issues. We have commercial areas that we really can't service. And those people that own that look across the road at Heber and say, well, what am I doing over here in Daniel? And it's a big deal. And so that's something you'll brush up against is we have commercial zones. We're trying to save that, but we really can't get the money out of it because those uses aren't allowed.
Yep.
Somebody comes and says, I want a piece of commercial property. What can I do?
Is the transfer station on section?
Yes.
Okay.
And more. No.
And more.
That one doesn't
and surprise. And trucking. Get out of the way.
No, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like one of the uses here on the cursor is auto washing, self-service. That would overwhelm a septic pretty quick.
Depends on whether you're recirculating.
I mean, it's recirculating. I guess you'd have to, you could clean the water and send it back up.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
And a lot of them are doing it. It's like 80% of the water they're reusing.
Wow, 80%.
So it's pretty high.
Wow,
yeah.
That's
water's
pretty
expensive.
High.
And you could do more than that.
Pretty efficient.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
You could probably do it 95% to 100% if you really wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, you can clean the water, that's for sure. It's just expensive.
So cleaner than not to wash cars.
Why are we hung up on Nexus and a percentage?
Okay. We're going to accomplish something.
I think you're still going to end up with here's the main building and here are the storage units back behind.
So how do
and
we say,
to say you can't
do that?
Do that.
How
and
do
so
we say?
So maybe what I was just thinking is maybe what we do is say that no individual building can be totally dedicated to storage.
No separate building?
Yeah, it has to be connected to the original.
Yeah.
Kind of like the tiny home has to be connected.
Store, it's an HVAC company. I don't know, whatever the hell it is, but.
Build
put
on your building.
To store.
Build on your building. Instead of having this mess out here.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to rent that out.
Inside your own building.
Yeah.
If it's a building back here, you say, hey, yeah.
Well, they could still rent part of it out, but they're not going to rent it to the public to go store whatever junk it is that they have.
So how do we say that?
I don't know. I'm asking for help.
No separate structures.
No, gotta have separate structures. You'd say no separate structure can be totally dedicated to a use that is not on the list of accessory
approved
uses or something.
Permitted uses.
That makes
permitted
sense.
Or accessory uses.
Yeah. Storage shall be attached to principal use building.
All storage shall be.
Yeah, but do we want to just limit it to storage? It could be other things too.
That's true.
They're renting those units as mini apartments. which a lot of them are, whether they know it or not, right?
That's what I hear. It's a going thing, so. Man caves.
Yep.
It's cheaper than redoing your basement, I guess. My wife can't walk downstairs.
That's right. Right.
How did you just say that, Gary? I thought that made sense.
I didn't, but I just said that no
accessory buildings
no
have
standalone building can only be a
standalone buildings can only be used approved uses that are approved in the code.
Yeah.
Only be used.
So you want to say accessory structures?
Accessory structures.
Accessory structures shall be a use indicated in the code or they're not allowed.
Yeah. Yes. There, write that down.
Accessory structures can only be used for the can only be used for approved permitted uses.
But I don't want to say they can.
I'm gonna get it down. Permitted uses
cannot be how do you say it? They can't be totally used for a use. I mean, I don't want it to just be a storage unit or, you know, something that's not one of the uses. It could be a storage unit and something else, or it could be something that's on the permitted or accessory uses.
Accessory.
But not totally to something that's
separate.
Not really allowed in the zone.
Right. Well, do we cover that by the 50%?
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's saying you can't have more than 50%, so it clearly 100% is.
Yeah, maybe I'm just being stubborn and didn't think through that one.
That's why we're all in here together.
They can have six of those, but they can only have two of them, and it wouldn't be, correct?
Well, no. I'd say each individual structure can only be 50%.
Not the total square footage?
No, because then you can build a 10,000 square foot commercial building and then
5,000 foot of
5,200 square foot storage units. And you're still there. And I just somehow want to say you can't have a building that's totally a storage unit.
Can't you just say that?
You can, but how do you say it?
You can't have a storage unit.
A separate
in the
building.
Zone.
You can't have an accessory
building. He already
building
says that.
Dedicated. Yeah. Well,
only it doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
It doesn't say it. It just doesn't include it as a permitted
right
or conditional use. So maybe that's the point.
So why don't you just need to say that?
Yeah.
Establish
it. We have enough storage units already.
Clearly not. These guys have done their math and they're making money on them.
Yep.
It's just the town receives no revenue.
Well, as far as we're concerned, there's
right
enough already.
Yeah. Right.
What does it mean economically?
Which ties back to the sewer conversation.
Yeah. Nothing simple.
No. It all has a nexus.
Eric's word of the day.
Mm-hmm. I learned a new word today.
Is it appropriate in A, B, or C to add a D that just says that storage units are prohibited?
Absolutely.
That seems very simple.
You can eliminate them from the commercial zone because you allow them in the industrial zone.
Because A, B, and C talk more to
yeah
what is potentially a permitted accessory use.
Right.
There's no mention of what's expressed.
So are you required to allow them somewhere?
If you don't allow them somewhere, they can go anywhere.
So they're allowed in the industrial zone.
That's currently where
currently
our code
where the code says.
So then they're not allowed in commercial.
You can certainly say that.
Say that. And
that's
wash
D
your hands
and
of it.
What?
Are you writing this down? That's
I'm
D
trying, but that's
yeah,
I'm
D
bound to about X now.
D, we have no dang storage units.
Under number three?
D stands for dang.
So we already have A, B, C, add a D.
Oh, D, underneath there, leave it all the same and add the no storage units.
Add a D, the storage units.
And leave the rest of it alone?
So are you saying no standalone storage units in the commercial zone, is that what you're saying?
That's what he wants to say, that's what we want to say.
So just say standalone storage units are not allowed in the commercial zone. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're hired. So, what does this do to their guy?
One of the things that Byron said is that if we have to have a public hearing, that he would like to have something read in an open forum saying that we don't want, we have very limited commercial zones, very limited industrial zones, and we don't want, when people enter the town of Daniel, the first thing they see is storage units. We don't get any income, any tax income out of them. So the town loses in two ways, aesthetically, and then also on tax. So anyway, he called me and he just said, you know, if that comes up, I would like a letter from the Planning Commission or a joint letter from the Planning Commission and the Town Council to address the public if we,
so
when this happens.
It's just the council that,
yeah,
that has the public hearing, right?
Yes.
But what you just said, Kim, is really coming from the other angle, where you are telling people their rights as their property owner. They have the right to apply, they have the right to turn them down. If we make that statement up front, you could be in jeopardy of arbitrary and capricious.
Okay, I'm just telling you that
if that statement was to be made in public.
Just,
yeah. It seems like putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
To make, well, and I think his point was to make it not arbitrary or capricious, like that there was thought put into this and consideration and whatnot, so yeah. It would have to be
well, and
carefully,
yeah.
But anyway, that he just wanted me.
And totally within their right to say that. We've looked at the commercial zone. We don't think this fits in the commercial zone. We have a spot in the industrial zone. And so that's
you
want to approach
that.
It. That there's, yeah, there is a spot. We have a place for everybody. It's here.
There.
Okay. He just wanted that. That was the one thing that he said. And he was sniffling at the time. So.
Yeah, it's a tough deal, and people don't want to hear. You
anybody
dictate
saying you don't
what you can
get
do
to
with
do
your
this.
Property.
Yeah. So Pam, I think it makes sense probably to run both options by Byron and Bridger next meeting.
Oh, I think all of those should be.
I think we got it distilled down to two options.
Though.
The first one we talked about is more or less what Bridger
yes.
had.
The permitted accessory uses, yep.
Right, with
Eric, changing some words.
Eric, does the lawyer check the verbiage before or after the public hearing?
After. So the lawyers, because it can be changed at the public hearing, you may get some public input, so you just waste your money if they check it before. So it'll go, the process is, and I should probably wait for
but
Eric to come
back. If they
change
the words, does it have to have another public hearing?
Yes, substantial alteration does require another public hearing.
Substantial.
But unsubstantial.
Right.
So if you take
incidental.
Substantial.
Incidental.
But so if you take substantial and nexus and change those words, it wouldn't require a new public hearing, or it would?
It could. And so you're never going to know till you get to court and the judge looks at it and says, you guys really changed this. You got to have another public hearing.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's. That's the reason you have two public hearings. So the process is we get this is where we want it, where we're comfortable with it. Here's the wording we're gonna, and then we have the public hearing. So we're able to tell the public, this is the code, this is what it is, this is what we think it should be. Do you have any thoughts? And then you take that public input. After that public hearing, then you make a recommendation to council for that. It goes through the 14-day public notice. They hold a public hearing on that same thing. And so then they do the same thing. And once you make the recommendation, council, they may cross some things off. They may not like it. And so they can change that also. Then they hold the public hearing.
This doesn't sound that controversial to me.
This one doesn't.
Where the other one, public hearing will be too big of a
deal. RA5 storage will be, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
RA5 will be huge. The people in the RA5 zone, they value having old equipment and tractors. Everybody has it in their yard. That's part of being rural Utah. That's a value that they came out in droves to tell us. They value that.
I found something in the code today that I didn't know was there. And it also, you can store up to 2 trailers that do not belong to you as long as you're not being paid for it.
Right.
On your property, and that's fine. As well as however many you have of your own.
Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, you can have all of your own that you want. There's no limit on that.
Well, and I think Bridger had alluded to that. The IRS has that definition of once you're receiving money for it, then different rules apply. And I think that we tailor our code to match that, because that they're the ones that's taking the bullet on that.
And I think our code's fine on that, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you the values you're going to see as people come out. That's rural Utah. That's what they
yeah,
want.
Yeah, well, and the one that Pam read is in the code, and it applies to all the zones. And she was just saying maybe we should make it so it shows up everywhere, but I think that's kind of stirring up a hornet's nest.
Yeah, and where that comes up is when we have a complaint.
Yeah.
Because that's when I have to show up and say, okay, we do have a problem. Can we get this cleaned up? No? Okay, then I'm going to deem this a nuisance, and this is the code. And so those letters that went out to those people that were doing things against code, this is the nuisance code is the big hammer. That's what you go after people with if you have to bring out the big hammer. The nuisance code is very, I mean, the judges,
yeah, it's
there.
I liked it.
Right.
Yeah, it's there, but it was, kind of, I don't want to say it's hidden, but.
Right.
I'd never seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in every one of the letters we send out to people that won't comply.
Wait until you get your Adobe search, then you'll be able to find all kinds
yay.
Of things.
But I'm just telling you that is a value. You will have people show up, and they value that. The old tractors, the old trucks, it's rural Utah. I don't want curb and gutter in our town. That changes the rural atmosphere. I mean, it's just sidewalks. It's amazing what
it, is amazing.
It brings out. And it's just like, and those are the people we work for, so.
Yep, no, I get all that part, but it's like, it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
So I think we're covered, and I think we'd be crazy to bring it up.
Okay, all right. I'm makes some sense. When the rats start running from all the dead things, then we'll see.
Travel trailers, RVs, or vehicles be stored on the premises in exchange for compensation or trade. Is that it?
I think.
I mean, that's a harder.
I wish I could find it again. But my search is not working well. But I think it actually is pretty clear the way it is.
So on the storage of trailers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I haven't seen that either.
And without my mouse, I don't know.
So if that's the case, it just boils down to lack of enforcement. Which is
always the problem.
Police yourself.
Carrie, you want to see what it is?
Right.
I've got it right here.
It really is, and that's why we've had a complaint-driven enforcement, because if it doesn't make you mad enough to make the complaint, go to court and tell the judge why.
No, that's not the one I'm
We just haven't got involved with
it. Okay.
I was just matching it up to this one right here.
It has to be written.
Yeah, it's a written complaint.
Yeah, there's another one that talks
have to have
about.
A victim.
None of us want to be told what to do.
That's right.
Get it.
Everybody
I get it.
That. Some of us don't mind.
Under the residential zone.
They can tell me, I might not do it.
Go ahead.
Scroll down to it.
Speaking of complaints, while I have your attention, I got another call about the big giant pothole on Crazy Acres. So,
big giant pothole.
Tell them to come down to Big Hollow and measure and see.
Yeah.
It's right next to Ryan's property.
We'll have a competition.
So,
get one on Mill Road, too.
Anyway, I'm just.
Yeah, there is.
Part of the right.
Was it Richard Bowles?
Well, if you're going down Big Hollow and also the county dump trucks are going down Big Hollow, you're just jumping in the ditch. They'll plow you right over, and there's not room anyway. But you used to be able to kind of go off into the weeds, and now it's like, yeah.
Snow's melting.
Right, Gary? Yeah.
going to be an interesting spring.
On Big Hollow Road?
Yeah. And the county trucks are the ones that do the damage.
Well, yeah.
They really ought to be.
They usually don't come in during the winter, but this year they held all the snow into the gravel pit, so. Yeah.
And so Scott did talk to the Public Works.
Oh, good.
Asked them to participate. No.
No?
Yeah.
Well.
There you have it.
Yeah.
No.
They damaged the road, but they shouldn't have to fix it.
Okay. I have to go. I don't feel like I accomplished anything, but.
I thought we did well.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question before you go. It's been on my mind since the last meeting approving the gigantic garage.
Yeah, that was a big gigantic.
Which I don't really have a problem with the garage. I'm just wondering if we're going to approve things that big, should we be changing the code from 1,500 square feet to something else? Because okaying something almost 10 times bigger than what's allowed seemed really excessive. So what do we, are we just going to let anything go, or should we change the code, or what do you guys think? I mean, I don't know what was going through your heads, so.
We had neighbors here, plans all looked legit. He was nice enough, height-wise, all of that stuff.
Nobody agree.
Nobody was opposed, but I think we had some the Houston scene. There's nothing funky there. He may be repairing some side-by-sides or some machines or whatever else he planned on storing.
I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, we could be getting the line of bolt.
It's just a matter of, I mean, that's not a little bigger. That's not like 2,000 square feet or 2,200.
How big is the lot?
Eight acres.
He's got room.
And he tucked it back there nice. It's back.
He did.
And he's buying more acreage.
Yeah, he's doing it right.
So, California,
that was my problem.
A little bit of a no for me initially, but I'm not from here either, so I swallowed that.
Me either, but my kids aren't.
I'm from a place more like this than California. Ohio is much.
But should we change the code and make it bigger than 1,500 square feet if we're going to okay it?
So we've had four conditional uses that's been over the 1,500 square feet, so we've only had four.
This one was just.
And one wasn't built.
This one was just
right.
A lot.
Very large.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd rather keep it low and talk about them than let somebody get a 5,000.
Well, it gives us a reason to turn somebody else down that's not a good guy like him. If somebody comes in and is a jerk, and blocking somebody's view and everything else, then.
So are you saying put a cap on the size? Without
no, I just am wondering on the thinking of, you know, why do we have a standard, but we're willing to let something 10 times bigger go? Should we change our standard? Or should we not let that big of things go?
I think.
Or
if it gets above about 1,500, then I think it's good to let the neighbors comment, bring any ideas in.
The neighbors all showed up.
Yeah,
the only other thing,
he did a good job answering their questions, and everybody seemed to be okay with it.
No, I thought that everybody was going to be there for the other property, and it turns out that they were all
right
there.
And they were just more curious than anything.
Yeah,
you're right.
They just wanted information.
So, and I'm not saying the wrong thing happened. I just think we ought to talk about it.
The only thing I can think of is maybe, I don't know, again, we're telling people what they can and can't do with their property, but at a certain size, maybe we have a bigger setback from the edge of their property? That it's more in the interior part of their property?
I don't know. Do we want a town full of 13,000 square foot buildings or not?
Well, that's what money buys you.
And we do have that restriction of further back, but it's tied to the height. So if the building goes above the 25 feet or 30 feet, then it's 2 foot back for every foot over, or the other way around.
So we have addressed it, but maybe we need to make it,
and let's face
that seems
it,
reasonable.
You could sell someday and the new owner uses it for something else.
Well, they can use it for whatever they want.
Yeah, but that conditional use is still there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
It stays with the building
forever.
They could just have weddings in there. Or we could take away that conditional use.
They have to renew that every year, right?
No, that was not a condition put on there. If they want it renewed every year, then they have to make that a condition on the conditional use.
So we could do that.
So if a neighbor complains about too much noise, then it's up for...
Then we go to, again, we show up with the nuisance thing and we're banging on the door saying, hey, you didn't follow your conditional use, we have a nuisance here. We're going to court. And it costs a lot of money.
What they're talking about is a really, really pretty barn for cars.
For toys, maybe, yeah.
And toys.
Side by sides. His son's a pretty legitimate dirt bike racing guy, apparently, he should be.
I was impressed that all the neighbors showed up. And they asked legitimate questions and he answered them, he wasn't evasive.
And really, that's what you want, is people to enjoy their property. I mean, that's why you have it.
Yeah, so if you want to keep your nice antique cars inside, go for it. I guess you're...
Well, we were just complaining about people keeping them outside.
Well, they'd rather be inside. I don't want to look at them.
They would rather be inside, too.
Exactly, because they're worth a lot of money, probably.
I think his cars are nice enough, it'd be fun to see them outside.
Yeah, maybe he'll drive them around the block.
Yeah. And I mean, everything he's doing there is just going to bring in more revenue for the town. Based on the price, I mean, the value of that property is gonna, and it's probably a second home, will be taxed at 100% value. I mean, that's what you're getting, so.
And some people that have more money than us want bigger pieces of property to put all their...
Their toys, huh?
Their toys, whatever that might be, or animals, or whatever.
I have no problem with his toys or anything.
Yeah. It was a pretty big barn.
It is a very large one.
So do we want a table, just... completely show the second no compensation comment or addition to...
Yeah, I wish I could find it again right now, but I'm
number four.
Pretty sure it's covered.
And I don't know, so if you think it's covered, I'm...
Where it basically says you can have two as long as they're uncompensated.
But anything above that is not allowed?
Right. Are you talking about trailers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Two that don't belong to you as long as you're not renting space for them. So your buddy can park their trailer at your house.
But
they can't live in it, but they can park it there.
And then if you start taking $100 a month, then it's no longer...
Right.
Okay, not that. How would you know they're taking $100 a month?
That's the problem with everything.
Yeah, that's
how do you know?
Thing. I mean,
how do you know? Exactly.
Again, complaint driven.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll withdraw my suggestion for the residential then, and you make a valid point, and it is in here. I don't know. And what I think's okay is not... Everybody should be able to do what they want on their property. I get that.
Well, and they can, no, they as long as it doesn't infringe
interfere.
Somebody
else. I mean, if the rats start running from their stock of...
Right, that's what I mean, as long as it doesn't infringe on somebody else. So I'm standing here trying to tell these people, you have rights, and the people are complaining, you know they have rights. You have rights. And yeah. So that's a tough deal.
That is a tough deal.
And it's like, to balance that to where they're both mad,
and
I think I get it right.
Something in the code that I saw today that you can't have a hay barn within a certain number of feet of a neighboring structure.
Huh.
Just fire, I mean,
it's probably
sense.
Fire, but
probably
it could also
fire.
Be...
I thought it was animals.
There's,
no, there's
animals.
Another one that talks
oh, really?
About...
Because animal is... So
animals
close.
Is further. I think it was like 50 feet. It wasn't huge.
Oh. Yeah, because the animal one is 100 foot on-site or off-site. You
yeah.
just can't be within 100 feet if you have animals in that shed.
So
100 feet of your property line or 100 feet of a neighboring structure?
Neighboring structure or your structure.
Both.
We like our animals outside.
And 100 feet from the house.
And 100 feet.
That way there, when it's snowing, you know you have to go feed.
You got to crawl out there.
Okay, so
and we like it when the kid turns off the water for the horses.
So how do we want to proceed? Do we want to write this up and then present it to the whole planning commission? Do we want to write this up in the next planning commission meeting? Send it to the council?
Let's come prepared to write it up in the next planning commission meeting with our ideas. Each of us can write it as we understood what the discussion there?
I can take a step. As I see, we get two options, right? We've got the nexus with the percentage, right? And then we've got the specifically the
number
D call out where it's prohibited.
Prohibited in the commercial zone.
I can respond back to Bridger's original email.
Group emails are fine.
Yeah, I can respond back to Bridger's email with.
For some reason, I'm not getting
today,
these emails.
Number four, we're just talking about.
I don't think your name was on the list.
So we want to discuss it next meeting or look at it in email.
That's a problem.
Because I was trying to send it to everyone, like, where's Eric's? I know what his email is.
We have to write a public hearing.
Just double check that.
It's only them. It's only the council that does the public hearing?
No. So the process.
We do have to do one in the plan.
The process is you get it written down, what you think you're going to have.
That's what I thought.
Then we have a public hearing.
But we have to have 14 days.
Right. We have to do the notice, 14 days, we're changing code.
State is 10 days, but thank you, Eric, for 14 days.
Wasn't me, that's your council. And actually, that's county code, county forces 14 days notice.
No, it just makes it hard because when you have Wednesday and Monday meetings, you don't always have.
So we have the recommendation into the council to do the moratorium, which gives us a little bit of time.
Oh, we did, are going to do that? I didn't know we for sure.
We sent a recommendation.
We did?
It hasn't, council hasn't acted on it yet.
Right.
Because they haven't met.
That'll be on Monday.
But if they aren't going to act on that, then they're probably not interested in this change either.
Yeah, it could be.
They will and they are.
I think so too. So I think we're okay that we get this nailed down in our next meeting and the recommendation written to go to the council.
Okay.
They can then.
I'll memorialize the two for the group then and then just ask the people.
If you don't mind, I'll make sure it's circulating. I'll make sure that you're, I think I don't have you on the planning commission.
Okay.
Like I just add you to that. So when they hit respond,
okay.
I think that's
fast.
What I'm
fast.
Cool. So I'll make sure that you're just.
Include me.
Well, I'll just.
So I'll
mean,
I have emails and send them out.
Very good.
I always do that, but when they're responding to something for them,
they're not hitting all.
Yeah, then if they're just hitting reply all, then your name might not be on there.
Yeah, I didn't see any of those emails, so.
I can do that.
Thanks, guys.
Pam's motioning to adjourn.
They've been making, I must adjourn.
Pam's
and thanks for my water bottle.
I don't think we have a quorum, so we can't adjourn.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. You better make a motion.
Are we done? We're done with Tiny, well, Tiny Homes wasn't on there.
If you
we
leave
did
us, we can't leave.
Yeah.
Takes four to.
I'm sorry. Good luck, guys.
I'm so sorry
for
3 weeks.
You haven't made it to the door yet.
It'll just be the last person here.
Make a motion to adjourn because I'm asleep.
I'll second it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Call
yes,
for the vote?
Yes.
Triple.
So we'll work for our next meeting. Yes, what's
yes.
My name? Skinner, yes.
Wait,
yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there running out the door?
Yeah. Banger, yes.
Yes, just left.
Well, nice to meet you.
Likewise.
That'll keep you moving.